You know, there's one thing about life and storms. If you don't have one this week, keep on breathing. There'll be a storm come to every one of us. But I'm thankful that song tells us where we can go. Keep me safe until that storm is past, till it's behind me and I've got victory in it. For past several weeks, we've been talking about the scripture over in Psalms 40. And I felt like it was probably had everything out of it. And then this week, something came to me out of that verse that made me realize this may be almost the most important of all of it. It's because it's my part of what I do to it. It's just three words out of Psalms 40 and 1. It's the first three words. The first two are, I waited. You know, we can wait on something, but then you can realize how valuable the third word is. I waited patiently. And I was thinking about times where it could be husband or wife that happens to get to the car first, waiting for the other one to come. I waited. We could say, you know what? I waited 20 minutes for them to get ready and get out to the car. Can we add the third word to it? I waited patiently. I was thinking about that. Can I say I waited patiently? Or do I say in that waiting, I use the horn sometimes? Or maybe just a little remark when they get in, whoo, I thought you'd never come. Well, I thought about that and I realized, you know what? I do not have that problem because Cheryl always beats me to the car. So I thought, well, you know what, with this message, I'm going to make sure I get out there first this time. I didn't blow the horn. I just was to the car first. To the point that I told her, I said, you noticed I got out here first? She said, yeah, I did notice that. I said, well, it's part of the message. Well, I think about through life, you know what, we have so many little incidents that I can wait or I can wait patiently. And you know what, that third word holds all the difference. And for each one of us to grade ourselves today, how patiently do I wait? You know, I might could take 100%. Well, we all have to. We have to wait, whether it's a serviceman that's supposed to come out to your house or an appointment that you had and you end up waiting. We all have to wait. So we could say, I get 100% on waiting. Well, that's not enough. What about the third word? When I add in, did I wait patiently? Then what is my grade that I would get? And I believe today the Lord would like to help us that it would be a part of our life, that whether I'm waiting on a companion or whether I'm waiting on a serviceman or, you know what, or if I'm waiting on God, that I would be able to do it patiently. I was thinking of when David wrote Psalms 40, he didn't tell us what incident was happening in his life. He just told us he waited patiently on the Lord, and the Lord heard him and he delivered him. He set his feet up on a rock and he established his goings. So I tried to look at some of the things that happened in David's life that could have very easily this been his testimony from that incident. And here's one that I thought about. In 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, you know, Saul had been anointed to be the king of Israel. But Saul's disobedience caused him to be rejected. And the 16th chapter tells us right at the beginning of the chapter, the Lord says to Samuel, how long are you going to mourn for Saul, seeing I rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite. For I have provided me a king among his sons. So we all know the story of that. Samuel comes to Jesse and he tells him, I want you to get your sons together. And Samuel himself, you remember when he looked at the oldest, just looking at him, he said, this is king material. This is the one right here. Now, how would you look at someone and know that they could make a good king or anything else that us with my eyes, I can tell something as much as the Lord can tell something. You remember when Samuel looked at Eliab, and he said, this must be the anointed one. And God said, no, man doesn't look at it the same as God looks at it. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God is searching the heart. This is not the one that I've chosen. Well, he had seven sons that came by. And each one of them, the Lord revealed to him, to Samuel, this is not the one here. To where all the sons have come by, and there is still nothing from the Lord. So did Samuel say, I tell you what, I must have missed it. It must have been somebody besides Jesse. He said, you have another son. You remember that? He was not even hardly considered worthy to be brought in. He's just my youngest son. He takes care of the sheep. So I left him out here because these are the ones that could be king material. You remember, I think with that, Jesse did not even see David to be a prospect for what was about to happen. And Samuel says, bring him to me. And Samuel gets a clearance from the Lord. This is who will be the king. So I was thinking about that. You know, David did not have a dream in his mind when he was out there taking care of the sheep. I'll tell you what, I am king material. I'm going to be the king one day. That was not an ambition of his. That was not even a dream of his. Thought about another person that did have a dream, and he told it. You remember Joseph in Genesis 37th chapter? He had a dream. He didn't even know what the dream would mean, but he happened to tell it to his brothers and his father. The dream was that the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars did obeisance, bowed to him. His father even reprimanded him for doing that. You know what? Joseph was really seeing the future, but it wasn't that he had an ambition of his own. He was just telling a dream that he had gotten. But you know, David didn't even have a dream of being a king. He was just out taking care of his father's sheep. He wasn't the one that Samuel would have called on if he had been there and been in the lineup. With Samuel taking a look then and said, without God's help, this is the one that is going to be the king by looking at this young boy here. So I thought of when David has now been anointed, what change did it make in David? How did he conduct himself after having that knowledge? I was thinking of Solomon's son. When Solomon died and Rehoboam became the king, what did he do? You remember with Rehoboam, it seemed like he was really going to be a good king because he went to the old men and he asked them, how should I conduct myself being a king? You remember the old men told him, said, I tell you what, if you will talk to them softly and you will tell them, you know what, my father made it hard for you, but I'm going to make it easier. I'm going to lighten your load for you. They will serve you. They will be glad to serve you. Did he take that advice? Rehoboam didn't. Rehoboam went to the young men and asked them, what do you think about it? And they said, I'll tell you what, you just tell them, you thought you had it bad before. It's going to be worse out in the future. That's how Rehoboam took being able to be a king. How did David take it? I was looking over here in 1 Samuel in the 16th chapter. There's something that happened in the 13th verse. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. So you know what? His brothers knew about it also. In the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. What did the Spirit of the Lord cause David? How did it cause him to act? It says, so Samuel rose and went to Ramah. But look at the next verse. The Spirit of the Lord at the same time departed from Saul. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him, an evil spirit that was allowed by God to come on him. You remember at that time was when Saul started having so much trouble, and they said, his servant, Saul's servant said, I tell you what you need. When you have this trouble you need to call someone. We need to get somebody that can play music for you. Music will soothe this spirit. You remember him calling? Ended up, all this is a plan of God. Ended up calling for David. He can play a harp. Somebody, some of those men must have heard him playing out there for his sheep or somewhere, and said, this is the person that to play for you. And you remember, it was so much please in the 21st verse of the 16th chapter, 1 Samuel. It's after he came to play for Saul, it said, Saul loved David greatly. David became his armor bearer. Boy, it looks like things are getting very good now. He's lining up. He's right there with Saul. Things are going to go very well. You know what? David knows already that he's to be the king. And he sees the times when this evil spirit comes on Saul and he behaves himself in a way. But you know what? You'll find several times in the Bible, it'll say this about David. David behaved himself wisely. He was able to handle himself in a way, even though he knew what had been done. He did not put himself in any way with Saul. You know, real easily, David could have said, Saul, when you have this trouble coming on you, I can tell you what your problem is. I'm the one supposed to be sitting on the throne instead of you. He never said it. He left that thing with the Lord. And so I'm looking at these three words. I waited patiently. You know, after God has told him what he's going to do, he puts that back in God's hands for the timetable of it. When will it happen? In Proverbs 20, because we see some things that David could have done, but all the time he put it in the Lord's hands. I waited patiently. I tried to find out how many years was that waiting, and I never saw it exactly. One commentary said it was 8 years. Another one said maybe 15 years. Whatever it was a long period of time that David knew where he was with God and what he was supposed to be doing, and yet he committed it to the Lord. In this one, Proverbs 20 and 22. And think about David when we read this. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Did David do that? He sure did. He had opportunities come to him when Saul was chastening. One of them that I'd like for us to look at is 1 Samuel 24. So this that we're talking about with David, we don't want to leave just thinking about David, but to think about for ourselves, do I wait patiently on the Lord to work out the problems that I face? In 1 Samuel 24 and 4 through 5, this is an amazing story. David is in a cave when Saul is chasing him, and Saul happens to come in the cave and doesn't know David is there. And Saul lays down and goes to sleep. And David's men that have been running with him tell him, you know what? In the fourth verse, the men of David said to him, behold, the day which the Lord said to thee, behold, I will deliver thy enemy in thy hand, and thou mayest do with him as it seemed good to thee. David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. It came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. He said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. You know, that's amazing. David knew he was to be the king, but he put that all in the Lord's hands. An opportunity for him to hasten the moment, and he put it back in the Lord's hands. He said, I should not have even done that. He had another opportunity to where he said in the 20th verse, you know, here it comes to a point where what he does do after he's gotten a little distance away from Saul, he calls out to him. Saul wakes up and David talks to him. Here's part of your skirt here that I cut off. I could have taken your life. I want you to know I'm not out to do that. And then look what Saul says in the 20th verse. And now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king. This is Saul talking to David. You're going to be the king, and the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hand. And Saul went away from him. You think that would have been the end of it, and Saul would have begun the transition of allowing David to be the king? Was that how it happened? It wasn't how it happened. In a short time, something, maybe the evil spirit came back on him, and in the 26th chapter, we see the same thing happening again, where Saul and his troops are coming after him. But you know, all that, what did it do to David? Did he say, well, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't, but I just wish somebody else would take him out and I could start it early? You look over in, because I want to see the pattern. David behaved himself wisely while he was waiting patiently. 2 Samuel, in the very first chapter, you remember with that, there's a man came, he's got the king's crown in his hand, and he tells David, I slew Saul. Saul knew he was going to die, and he asked me to kill him, so I killed him. And I'm here now. I brought his crown to you. You know, somehow there must have been a connection that he knew David was going to be the next king. Maybe he also thought, I'll tell you what, I could probably get a little credit here if I help him out. What did David say in 2 Samuel 1 and 14? David speaks to him after he tells him what he did. David said to him, how wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? So he's even, at that time, he's still willing for God to work out his will of what he wants to be able to do with that. So I'm thinking about that for us today. As we're waiting, maybe we can say, okay, I did wait, but can I say I waited patiently on the Lord and the things that come to me? You know, Joseph had a dream. He had no idea what that dream was going to mean in the end. But then when he was sold into slavery, 13 years of slavery and prison time, did he wait patiently on the Lord? He never knew what the future was going to hold. But each thing that came to him, he committed that to God. When he went to Pharaoh, to Potiphar's house, and the Lord blessed him there and things went well, he may have wondered, how does this fit into that dream? I don't know. Then when he went into prison for what happened, he may have thought, I really don't know how this fits into it, but that was a dream and here's where I am. And when it all ended up and he was standing before his brothers, talk about waiting patiently. What did he say to them? It wasn't you. It was God that put me in this place. God took me through 13 years of patiently waiting. You know, I don't believe he knew at the time that he was still in prison and he asked the king's servant that went back to him. I don't think he realized there's a connection of him being so close to the king after that. If he were released, I think he just hoped to be released. But instead, God's working and he is patiently waiting. I think it's real important for us. There's a verse over in Psalms 37, because if we don't have a problem that we need to wait patiently on today, it'll come to us. There'll come a time when we will need it. Psalms 37 and 7. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the evil, the man who bringeth wicked things to pass. You know, this one adds another thing to waiting patiently for him. It says, rest in the Lord. Now, I thought over in Hebrews where it talks about there remaineth a rest for the people of God. While I don't know what tomorrow holds and I'm waiting patiently for God to work it out, there remains a rest for us. I saw a song that I'd like to read to you. The title of it is Stand Still. You know, that's a hard thing for us to do. I can wait if I see progress being made. But this one said, the Father has a plan, though it's hard to see it now. You feel you're walking all along, but he's there, no doubt. When the storm around you rages and you're tossed to and fro, when you're faced with life's decisions and you're not sure which way to go, what do you do? Do you get all stirred up in your spirit? Here's the answer for it. Stand still and let God move. Standing still is hard to do. When you feel that you have reached the end, he will make a way for you. Stand still and let God move. The next verse is, when the enemy surrounds you and the walls are closing in, when the tide is swiftly rising and you wonder where he's been, friend, there never was a moment that his arms weren't reaching out. You can rest assured and be secure. God is moving right now. Stand still and see God move. You know, we can wait on the Lord. I thought about this. Saul, when he was king, was called on to wait. And when you read that story, it's in 1 Samuel 13 and 5. It's easy for me to read a story in the Bible and think, well, why didn't he wait? But when I see the pressure that he went through, he had the enemy, the Philistines were coming. What does it say about how many there were in 1 Samuel? And then try to put yourself in those shoes and say, I patiently waited. 13 and 5, here comes the enemy. Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000, I can't imagine that. 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude, they came. So whenever I look at this, this is a terrifying thing. In fact, Samuel has told him, you wait for an appointed time. I'm going to come and I'm going to offer the sacrifice to know what we need to do. He waited the days. The seventh day that he was to wait was not completely finished. But it said it was so bad, the enemy was getting so close that his own men were not getting ready to fight. So they were hiding themselves in the thickets. They were looking for caves to hide in, just some place to get out of the way of this battle when it happens. And what does it say Saul did? He waited. He patiently waited the first 3 or 4 days. But on that seventh day, something rose up. Something has got to be done. And so it says he forced himself to offer the sacrifice, which should never have been done. And when he offered it, that's when Samuel walked up. So easily, we can look at those stories and we can say he should have waited. But then I can put myself in some of those incidents in my life where times, Lord, I believe this, it's time now for you to work. And he's asking for me to patiently wait on him. Another story was in Exodus, the 14th chapter. And put yourself in these shoes. The children of Israel have just been able to come out of Egypt. And it says in the 8th verse, the children of Israel went out with a high hand. They were some kind of glad to be out of captivity. We are now heading for the Canaan land. And if you read this story, this chapter, you will find God's hand working in all of it. It was God's hand that led them up to the Red Sea. It was also God's hand that put them in a place that there was no escape. There's no place for me to run. And God's hand has caused Pharaoh to harden his heart and come after them. What's the purpose for all that? We read over in the 6th verse of that 14th chapter where he made ready his chariot, took his people. 7th verse, he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt. You think that wouldn't be intimidating when you are up against the Red Sea and you see all the dust being stirred up by all those chariots coming? 9th verse, they pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea. And when they look at that, would you be able to patiently wait? I'm waiting on God now. Here, this thing is being pressed against me now. You know, we don't have chariots from Egypt coming, but we have the devil still wanting to work on us in our mind every day of being pressed into, you need to do something. And the children of Israel, they cried out to the Lord in the 10th through the 12th verse. But you know what their cry was? It wasn't so much, God, we know you are well able to care for us. What were they doing? They were crying to Moses and said, because there were no graves in Egypt, Have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore have you dealt thus with us to carry us forth? But look what Moses told him. He told him what God had told him. Moses said to the people, "Fear ye not. Stand still." Boy, that's a hard thing to do when the chariots are still wanting to come on. "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day." So what about in our problems? Am I able to praise God for who he is and he will be well able to help me with the problem? Or do I send up a lot of complaints like they did? Have you put me here to be able to die? Stand still and let God move. Standing still is very hard to do. It was hard back then, and it's still hard today. But I look over to verse in Psalm 62. "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation." You know, we go back to that Psalms 40 and 1. "I waited patiently on him." We read about a rock there too. "He set my feet on a rock." Something that is very stable for me to be able to be secure. There was a song that we sing sometimes. "I needed something steady to hold to." Yes. "And something that would hold to me. I'll keep holding on to Jesus." That's that rock. Remember in Psalms 61, just above it in the second verse, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Being able to, he set my feet upon a rock so that I don't have to be shaken back and forth in these times when I'm waiting, that I would be able to wait patiently on the Lord. There's another verse that I'd like to look at in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter and the second verse. "That ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, neither by word." You ever been shaken in your mind by things that are going on? Don't be shaken in your mind. Don't be troubled. You know, it'd be real easy for us to be troubled about even the events that are going on in the world around us today. And this continues on, "nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Now, he's probably talking about the end, the judgment day, the end of time maybe. But I'd like for us to think about the day that Christ is going to deliver me from this trouble. Don't be shaken in your mind wondering what day this is going to happen. It wasn't yesterday. It sure needs to be today. That's where I patiently waited until he answered. So in Proverbs 27, how will we handle the things that come to us? Proverbs 27 and 27:13. I guess I have got the wrong verse. The verse that I had was, "I had fainted unless I had waited to see the salvation of the Lord." Proverbs? Psalms 27:13. Thank you. Okay, Psalms 27. "I had fainted unless I had believed while I'm waiting patiently to see the salvation of the Lord. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." For us to be able to, in the future, you know, it could be a business decision. It could be a move that Robert and Julie are making, or any one of the rest of us, that we would be able to wait patiently. Now, there's some things that God has for us to do, and then there's some things that are beyond what we can do. Lord, help us to be able to know what the difference is between those. And those that we know are over in God's department, that I'll be able to rest them there and to wait patiently for him to work it out. There is a song that I'd like for us to sing in closing. Robert, if you could find it for me. It's the song, Teach Me, Lord, to Wait. That song says, Teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees until in your own good time you answer my plea. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. Teach me, Lord, to wait while hearts are aflame. And you know what? That may not all be other people's hearts. It could be my own. When it stirred, you think about how Saul's heart was stirred when he sees the chariots and the Philistines coming against him and his own people running away. I've got to do something. Teach me, Lord, to wait while hearts are aflame. Help me to humble myself and call on your name. Keep my faith renewed. Keep my eyes on thee. Let me be on this earth what you want me to be. And the verse that goes along with that, as in Isaiah 40, and let's go up to the 28th verse. Because you know what, in all this patiently waiting, I'm going to have a picture in my mind of who God is. He is well able to take care of it. This says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching his understanding. So while I'm waiting, I can wait patiently because there is no searching his understanding. He already knows how it's supposed to be. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But then the chorus of this song is the 31st verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And then the chorus ends with, teach me, Lord, to wait. You know, we're in a time where technology has helped us to be able to get instant answers. I'm amazed at what I can find on the internet for a repair for something. All I have to do is just ask, how do I repair this car window? And somebody comes up with a little blog and shows me the picture of how to do it. I can ask a question about the Bible, and somebody there has instantly given me an answer about it. We're in a time, you know, I used to hear some old ministers talking about when the microwaves first came out. We're in a microwave society where I want it quicker. Well, you know, we're able to get things quicker now than it was back then as we want information. And yet, nothing has changed with God. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. And what he's still interested in doing is this place of my walking with him, I learned to wait. I can't speed it up. Sometimes he wants me to be able to wait. May the Lord help us all. If things are going well for you now, keep this message, because the time's going to come that every one of us, we're going to be called on to wait. And we will wait because we can't change the situation. But can I say that the third word fit in with it? I waited patiently on the Lord. I desire your prayers.